I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out with us. Day before draft, Scott, I don't know how you were feeling. The day before the 1990 NFL draft, how were you feeling? Was it kind of...
I didn't feel good.
Footloose, fancy free, knowing you.
No. I had a knot in my stomach, and I just remember thinking to myself, "This is not going to turn out very good."
And here, but what was not very good for you? Where you ended up landing, or
I just don't have a good feeling.
You were
about
set
this.
On being a first or second round guy,
right? Yeah, and that's what I had anticipated. And so, you know, it was on a Sunday. I go to church, and then I go over to my parents' house and hang out and watch the draft on television.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it goes off television, and I'm still waiting for a phone
call.
Yeah.
Well,
I hate the draft, just so you know.
I think you've come a long way.
I think it's the dumbest thing in the world, and I don't like it.
How else are they supposed to do it? Just allocate players to teams? Come on. You can't do that.
One potato, two potatoes. Just give them.
It would be kind of fun not just to have a lottery pick, but have a lottery pick. Like, we put the ping pong balls, have a guy's face on them. That would be an amazing way to do this, right? You just have to deal with whoever you get. You know what I mean?
And, or do it regionally.
Yes. I would love it. Yes, have all the guys who used to play here. That's what the AFF did, right?
Yeah.
The AAF. Which one was it? How many A's and how many F's were there?
It was that Spring League.
They got a lot of F's.
AAF, Alliance of America.
Yes, that's right. All right. Yeah. We're going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour here. With a little bit of more hot draft talk, it is the 805 Cut right here in KSL's Unrivaled.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
I was listening to yet another talking head today, Scott. By the way, that's what you and I are. I know you think of yourself as a little bit more, but you're one of these talking heads, but at least you do have a former career as an actual NFL quarterback. But here's what Ryan Clark on ESPN had to say about Zach Wilson. And at the beginning, how he didn't like him. And now he's way turned on to this guy being the number two pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, David Pollack came on this show and he started throwing out names like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, man, Dave is tripping. He need to start eating some carbs. You know, dude ain't had carbs in 6 years, and sometimes that can mess with your head. And so now when I'm looking at this draft, and you got four quarterbacks going at the top. We didn't see that in 04. We didn't see three go at the top. And those dudes, Eli, Rivers, Roethlisberger, might be Hall of Famers. Or we think about Dan Marino, Jim Kelly in that draft, John Elway. Those guys didn't go four at the top. So now I'm really starting to think about it. If this was the four horsemen in the WWE, Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be Ric Flair.
Whoa.
It would be Zach Wilson.
How about that? It's this is the new guy. Now, then he gets into things, Scott, where I start kind of he starts falling off. Off-platform throws, off-balance, things like this.
I think there's a good possibility Zach Wilson could do well.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. We've been pretty we're both Zach Wilson guys. We like Zach Wilson. I think he's an amazing athlete. I think he's an amazing player. The problem is where he's going to end up, and the Jets are really the problem. But create a scenario for me. This is tough homework. Create a scenario for me where Zach Wilson actually succeeds, not just in his NFL career because he gets traded somewhere else in a couple of years, but because he's with the Jets and he sticks it out. How can that scenario be successful?
Well, to start with, and this will sound the thing that Zach Wilson brings to the dance, he's got to dance with. And what it is he has this belief and this confidence in himself and this determination. And it really starts with that. Like, he's got to go into this and just say, I'm going to make it happen. This is my shot. You know, did I want to go to the Jets? Nope. It can be an amazing place if it's done right. And it hasn't been done right for, well, forever. But it's got to start with him. And I don't know. I never got a sense from, like, Sam Darnold that he was just all in. You know, it's almost – I don't know. It just never felt that way. But Zach has kind of been this kid, like, he'll – you know, if he's got to drive to California during COVID and work for a long weekend, he's going to do all that kind of stuff.
Scott's starting to fall for all the Hollywood stuff.
No. I'm just saying, but it's the commitment to do it.
The prove them wrong stuff,
And he needs to own that. And I get nervous when they say, yeah, he's kind of like Aaron Rodgers, kind of like – he needs to be like Zach Wilson and just – and set his own standard and be the guy that they compare other people to. And he's – so he's got to be himself.
Tough thing. I mean, because you said it, and right before we went on, or right when we were prepping for the show today, the last thing we heard was – Zach Wilson is more like Brett Favre than he thinks. And you're going, well, which one is it? Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, what are the other comparisons? We've heard a lot of them. Russell Wilson, that's even been thrown in there. I don't know. All these comparisons don't do the guy any good because those are all guys who have established themselves as pretty darn good players.
Well, the fans think that's what he should be like and play like and look like, and he's not going to do that. He's going to be himself, and that's what you want him to be. So it really starts out with a lot of teams will kind of take it too easy on a guy. And I by that I mean they'll kind of water down the offense and they'll kind of and I think he's a guy you give him more. And you say, we're not going to protect you. We're going to throw you out there. We're going to learn, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs and you're going to have all your things. If you think it The way they handled Brett Favre, Holmgren did. He said, "You're going to make mistakes. We're going to figure this out together," and he needs someone to do that with him because when you limit a guy, or you go, "Well, we're going to run the ball," you know, and just try to, it doesn't work because here's what happens: Zach Wilson needs throws, he needs experience, he needs to see NFL defenses in a game. And when you're handing the ball off on first and second down, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now it's third down. You try to make a throw now. It's the hardest because everyone knows you're going to throw. It's the hardest down to have success because the defense is caught off guard. Be aggressive with this guy and have him throw on early
downs.
And don't limit what he can do. And I really believe it's a key to him having success.
Yeah, throw on early downs, like what's the thing there? Like, hey, we put our trust in you on this thing to just kind of we're going to let the process work on you. And in the
if they don't, Alex, he knows that, and then he goes, oh. Mm.
They don't like me.
But you know who else gets a sense of that? His teammates.
The opponents, man.
Yeah, everyone. They're like, whatever it is. And Brett Favre, man, he threw tons of interceptions, and he was bad at times, and he didn't get
it. At what point did he become the Brett Favre that everybody romanticizes now, though? It was a while into his career.
It was a while into it. It wasn't year. I mean, there were flashes, and there were – I want to say it was probably middle of my time in Detroit, you know, because – I'm just telling you, when we played Brett Favre, we weren't like, oh, my goodness, we're playing Favre today. We're no one feared Brett Favre.
Right.
And so that gunslinger mentality that Zach Wilson has, they need to accentuate. Now, you're not going to get all the pieces at once, but you got to have a wide receiver, and you've got to, you're going to have to find a running back, but find a veteran running back. They're all over the place out there, and you can get a guy that comes in. Solidify the offensive line first, because that's at least give him a chance to, a chance. I mean, really, and let him, because he's probably going to run around a little bit when he's young, and then he just needs two. He doesn't need like a staple of guys, but if you have a decent running back and you have two wide receivers, either a tight end and a wide receiver or a wide receiver and a slot receiver, Zach Wilson, they can do a lot of damage with those, those players, and just putting the ball in his hands and say, okay, it's you.
Looks like that's probably our final real breakdown of Zach Wilson before the draft. I think by this time tomorrow night, we're going to have the answers of where he actually ended up if the Jets take him. We're going to take the break here. Plus, think about those wide receivers, too, who were, like, certain that Sam Darnold was going to be the guy before they showed up and they signed with the Jets. And now you got this young kid, got to prove himself. Interesting. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Got more to do. I've got an Ask Scott Anything when it comes to some of the NFL moves that we saw today prior to the draft. Oh, yeah. Teams shifting things around. It's getting interesting. Walking right up to the draft tomorrow. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. Old Dr. J, he was not happy about LeBron James kind of, pioneering the super teams.
Did he pioneer it? I thought the Lakers did, general.
Who knows who did it? But Dr. J did include Carl the Mailman Malone.
Yeah, well, he should.
On his all-time NBA
team. Listen, power forward, very much like Dr. J, right? I mean, this is a shout-out to his own position.
Don't you think that Carl Malone and John Stockton, don't you think they could have, like, found somebody to come to Utah? Charles
Hornacek.
Barkley.
They got Hornacek.
No, I understand.
You're talking about like a really intense third.
Like another.
Because you think about the Bulls, you have, and it didn't necessarily need. I don't even think it needs to be a scorer. Because Stockton wasn't
wasn't a scorer.
Think about Jordan, Pippen. Those guys are both scorers. Yeah. Obviously, Michael number one, and then you had a guy like Rodman, who was an All Pro. Rebounder, just defender, all those things. And so that was kind of that third piece for him there. But other than that, I don't know. I mean,
Coach.
Yeah, and, Steve Kerr, and you think of
John Paxton.
So, don't forget Luke Longley. I mean, come on, Scott, jeez. I'm trying to think who the Jazz could have gotten in here.
Will Perdue.
Think of all those people who.
What if you got Charles Barkley?
You know, there are guys who had the option. There are guys who are like, man, Utah wanted me. I said, no way. I'm not going to Salt Lake City. Like, that'd be Chuck, right? Like, going, man,
do you know
I'm
how
going to Salt Lake.
Do you know
Come
how
on, man.
Do you know how loved Charles Barkley would have been had he been a Utah Jazz? I'll bet he would have been more loved here than any other place he could have played.
His statue.
People would have loved him.
His statue would be right in the middle of Stockton and Malone, and he'd be spitting on someone, like,
hey, the old school.
You knucklehead. I think now we like Charles a lot more than we used to, though, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, like, my heavens, when he was a player, he was really hard to, he was just outspoken. I'm not a role model. He was all these things, right? Where you're like, oh man, Charles is so loud and obnoxious. But you couldn't deny the fact that the guy was shorter than everybody and out rebounded everybody. So it was something special with him. Yes, very, very similar. Very similar in their body type. Zion just needs to shave that head, go full bald head, and look like Charles Barkley. He will. Just a totally round face. He will look exactly like Charles Barkley. All right. It's that time of the night where I get to ask Scott anything I want. It's a little something I like to call, that we like to call on the show, Ask Scott Anything. Let's do it, if you please.
KSL's Unrivaled. ASA. Ask Scott Anything. Insider questions, candid answers, nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott Anything.
So I didn't get to bring this up yet, but what do you think about this today, like I said, moves that are being made around the league? Teddy Bridgewater gets traded to the Denver Broncos. Suddenly, Drew Lock gets a knot in his stomach and goes, what's my future look like? What does the future look like when a team brings in Teddy Bridgewater, a wily veteran, and you're the guy who was supposed to turn everything around and you haven't done it yet?
Drew Lock already had a knot in his stomach before Teddy Bridgewater. I think this is awesome for the Denver Broncos. I mean, this might actually
– it's like Broncos, the best quarterback move in years.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but this is a good football team. And they can be competitive in their division now. I mean, and it's going to be a competitive division. I mean, you've got really good quarterbacks at all the places. You've got Mahomes, you've got Herbert, who's, you know, he's up and coming, and Derek Carr. And so adding a quarterback that might actually help you win right now could be a massive thing for the Broncos. I think it's the one thing that they just can't figure out. They can figure out defense. They can figure out the rest of it. And they have pieces. And I'll just tell you right now, that offense will be better. Those wide receivers, all those skill people will be better when Teddy Bridgewater's there. Now, I'd be elated if I was Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, you're going to a place that, I mean, it is tough too. It's his third team in, you know, three seasons. And but what's interesting is he's a little bit like Ryan Fitzpatrick in that sense, where you're like, this guy's way more successful than the average quarterback in the league, but just doesn't – I don't know why it is that he doesn't fit in all these other places. Teddy Bridgewater was like almost there in Carolina, almost there in New Orleans, right? I mean, but – you know, other plans kind of get in the way, I guess.
I don't understand the Carolina situation. You can't sign a guy like that and expect him, even if he's a veteran guy. And I know Fitzpatrick is kind of odd, but you really need to give a guy a lot more time than just four or five games in a season or half a season or a season. I think your commitment to Teddy Bridgewater needs to be over the course of time, and let him really get his feet wet and get adept to a system. If you want, you know, these people are just so darn impatient with these players, and I think you're asking an impossibility. They need more time to just soak it all in, and the smart organizations are the ones that'll do that.
Scott, I don't want to get your hopes up here. I know we've been talking draft because the draft's tomorrow, but let me throw something out there from the world of college football. This is something I'm sure we're going to be talking about again in the next few days, but an anonymous Power 5 athletic director spoke with media this week and said, quote, "I sense 12 teams is building support." Talking about a 12-team playoff in college football instead of the normal four. How about a 12th? Look, 16 was perfect for you and I, but we both said anything above 8 would be amazing. Like a 12-game playoff makes sense because then you're talking about buys for probably some of the higher-ranked teams, and then you're still talking about legitimate bowl games that are not just throwaways anymore. You're talking about multiple teams, and you're going to see – teams that you don't usually see in a college football playoff discussion, likely making upsets over the, you know, it happens. It happens. So you'll see guys who make upsets. It just makes it more exciting for the sport that I love most, which is college football.
All it's going to take is 1 year that the SEC does not get in the playoffs. That's all it'll take.
So you think that's when they get the unanimous? Oh my goodness. That's when they get the unanimous vote. Yeah.
Yes. This will go warp speed. I'll be like, absolutely. Well, we need to change this.
If you're listening at home, that's the only way that they're able to change the playoff right now is if they got a unanimous vote across the board from the provosts and presidents who are involved in this thing at the college football playoff level. And right now, it's kind of getting measured support, but they know that they don't have to move a muscle until the next two or three years before they even start thinking about it.
But why not? I mean, if they could – Clearly, it makes more
COVID's
sense.
COVID's a perfect excuse to just reset everything right now. Just throw it all out. Let's do something different.
And not only that, but you know, here, look, you can renegotiate things. You can realize that you got into this deal, and down the road, it's like, yeah, we need to make an adjustment. I think most people would agree that four teams just isn't enough, and it would be way more exciting. And if you could somehow convince them or show them, look, you're going to make a whole lot more money, or show them a way or come up with a plan where they're going to make more money, yeah, they could move on this now.
Scott, one last awkward question. You were drafted in that fourth round of the 1990 NFL draft. What was a 1990 fourth round, 93rd overall pick signing bonus like back then? What was
$82,000?
$82,000. That's not bad, man.
That was a lot too.
That's
by
a
the
ton
way.
Of money back then.
Because I was a quarterback.
Well, plus 1990. I mean, yeah. That's like $700,000 in nowadays money, yeah. Right? I have to do that.
My base salary was $60,000.
See, and that's. Imagine how wild that is now. Oh my goodness. If you told these players you'd be playing for $60,000, you're like, what, in front of the WWE, you know, second night crowd? Come on, man.
Rookie money signing bonus is in the neighborhood of about $800,000-$900,000.
That's
for the same pick today.
Yeah, for the same pick, yeah. Because Zach Wilson's likely to get tomorrow night in the guaranteed $30 million range, on top of the fact that he's got, like, what, 10 sponsors now? Chipotle, Nike, I think Traeger got on board. Man, he's rolling in the money now, starting tomorrow, I guess. Stay right here with us. More to go. KSL's Unravel continues. NFL Roundup. Got a two-minute drill. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade-A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It is the NFL Roundup, talking all things NFL, of course. That's what the NFL Roundup is, so there you go. I know at this time of year, this is always when teams roll out. If there was a guy who had a major injury last year, this is about the time that teams will roll out how amazing their recovery is going. Because that's what you do right before the draft. You go, oh, by the way, we don't need to draft a quarterback. You know why? Dak Prescott's recovery is going amazing. According to the Cowboys, they have just been so impressed with Dak Prescott's recovery. I'm always like, look, If it's tennis elbow, that's one thing. If it is the double lower leg compound fracture, then I'm always a little bit more hesitant to go, oh yeah, he's ahead of schedule. I don't want anybody to be ahead of schedule when it comes to the rehabbing of a major injury like that, Scott. I get a little bit wary about teams who are rolling it out too.
All right. Well, let's take a couple of examples on similar types of injuries. One is Alex Smith.
Yes.
And Alex Smith, no one wants to touch Alex Smith right now. It's like, do you need to retire? And then the other one is Gordon Hayward. You know, kind of a similar type of.
His was less of a deal because it was mostly that dislocated ankle.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't even
bad. Right. Okay, fine. It's
but still
less.
Took forever to come back.
But it took him forever to come back. The only way that Dak Prescott is recovered is when he's actually out on the field playing and there's not an issue with it. I don't care what anyone says. You don't know where he is. You don't even have a
team
clue.
Team doctors looked at him.
Whatever.
He had a gleam in his eye. He's ahead of schedule.
He had a gleam in his eye. So it's really not until he gets out on the field. And I even think at that point, if you've ever come back from injuries, and you come back. It still lingers. It just does, and it lingers also in the back of your mind, like. Because you got injured, you know, it's like when someone gets in a car accident, they kind of drive down their freeway tapping their brakes all the time because they're afraid they're going to get in another accident again. It's a similar type of thing. You know, you just wonder about the psychological impact of it and how much that's going to have an effect on Dak Prescott when he comes back and plays. Zach Wilson, you know, clearly when he came back from his injury, he's like, oh, no, he's 100%. And, oh, he's been so diligent about not overthrowing and about, you know, and he was garbage a year ago. You know, it impacted his ability to play big time. And, of course, he's not going to say anything about it. So I was dumbfounded, Alex, about Dak Prescott. I was dumbfounded that they gave him a new deal. And I think it's a massive risk by the Cowboys not really knowing how he's going to respond and recover from the from this injury. It's crazy to me.
I want to bring this story up, too. It's about the Green Bay Packers. It's about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, of course, former Utah State standout quarterback up there, drafted in the first round. Was it already last year?
Yeah.
And this article that in the New York Post is it says the Packers' decision to draft Jordan Love keeps getting worse. And it's because – and what they're saying is that because of how committed they are to Aaron Rodgers now for the foreseeable future, they've – it's not that they made a mistake in drafting Jordan Love at that spot, because it definitely kind of lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers. But what they're saying is that, yeah, it seems like it's a bad decision that was made. And Jordan Love is getting caught up in this bad decision that they made to draft him, that he's going to be sitting behind him for a lot longer. And I thought, well, Scott, you sat behind Dan Marino for quite some time, and I'm just wondering at what point Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre forever before he started to play there.
Right.
So my question is at what point is it really a liability that you go, look, they drafted me and nothing's happening here. I want to go somewhere else versus I'm learning under Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the best of his time. I don't think that this article is necessarily on when it says that their commitment to Jordan Love seems out of place.
Well, I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes sat for a year and then came in and was just phenomenal. And when you typically draft a guy in the first round, you're like, hey, look, you know, we expect results quickly, and you're going to get opportunities quickly, and now. Now that they're not as likely to do that, I think there's some people to say, yeah, that was kind of a waste. It could be, you know, they knew that Patrick Mahomes was ready. I just remember Andy Reid just kind of, you know, cutting bait with Alex Smith, and I was like, wow, that. And I was like, who's Patrick Mahomes? I mean, like, he must really have a lot of conviction about this guy, and rightly so. He did, you know. Obviously, he's like, man, I see this guy every day. He is so ready. This guy's going to be amazing. Maybe Jordan Love isn't amazing. Maybe Jordan Love is like,
well, but
they're watching him practice and going, well, here's the thing, maybe too.
Aaron Rodgers is not, you know, Alex Smith either.
Well,
Mahomes
I understand
is in front
that, but they inherited Alex or Alex Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
I know, I just said that joking.
Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love.
Yeah, and so there's not that same level of commitment to a guy that you inherit. And sure, I guarantee you, as soon as Aaron Rodgers looks like he's falling away, they're gonna move on, because they know his best days are behind him, and he's still playing at a high level. Who knows how long he'll play? Who knows how long you'll want to play? Because Aaron Rodgers is kind of the guy that just kind of mad at the world, and he may just walk away next year. Who knows? But there's no rush here. There's no bad pick either, by the way. But it's just it's really, look, Aaron Rodgers is playing well. Great for right now. Why mess with a good thing? But more than likely his play will diminish, and it will happen quickly. You look at Drew Brees, and you could see the last couple of years.
Yeah, he really fell off.
And if the Saints had a really good option, maybe they got rid of Drew Brees a couple of years ago.
So apparently there were 8 or 9 teams who were interested in Deshaun Watson before his legal issues. Not a real shocker. No one's knocking at that door right now as he deals with all of these sexual assault, allegations from dozens of women, literally dozens of women across the board here. And
I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans are behind this.
Oh, this is kind of a conspiracy theory deal that they've
100%.
That they're
absolutely
planting all this and making.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's just like it all of a sudden came out of the blue, and it came out of the blue when he just said, I don't want to be here. I do not want to be here. And they were like, and whether they knew about it, and maybe it still is real, or you know, maybe they were trying to keep it hush-hush, and they just said, forget this. And you know, who knows? Maybe they went to these people and just said, go with your claim. We'll support you. We'll back you. We'll do whatever. Maybe we'll even pay you. Maybe the Houston Texans will pay you something. For whatever, some kind of settlement, who knows? But I would not be surprised that somebody is behind all of this, because it just feels a little bit, I don't know.
Could it just be that he was that he finally got caught? That he finally one person came forward? It gave everybody all the people who felt like they were had to keep it hush hush because of who he was.
At this point, it could be anything.
Yeah,
and you know, it could be that, but it also could be it could be the Houston Texans going. All right,
by the way, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, got extended in his contract. What an amazing career Mike Tomlin has turned out to become in Pittsburgh. I mean, the guy's a Super Bowl champion, and he's become one of the great coaches of my adult life in a place where it is really difficult to follow other acts. You know, you think of Chuck Knoll, you think of what's his name, Coach the guy who's on TV now, having to follow him and Mike Tomlin.
Jimmy Johnson?
No. The old Steelers coach. He's on
Chuck Knoll.
No, the one between Noel and my heavens.
Oh, Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher. So, like following up Bill Cowher, who won a championship himself, you think to yourself, well, I don't know. Mike Tomlin has been amazing. I'm glad they extended him. He has been an awesome piece of that franchise.
He's been an exceptional coach, and the Steelers organization, they're one of the most patient, I think, intelligent. They do things the right way, kind of organizations. They've got a great fan base, great city. I mean, they're really a model of what the NFL should look like. You know, it's unfortunate that not all the other teams do it, and they're heaped in tradition, the Rooney family. I mean, there's just so many great things.
It's kind of interesting.
So it's something that just doesn't surprise you that they've just done it.
It's
right?
Kind of interesting too, because they in an era when we talk about everybody else, like the Steelers, sometimes still get forgotten. They're the 6-time world champions, and pretty recently they've still won. And we still, they kind of get forgotten in all the East talk. All right, let's take the break. We'll come back. Oh, we got our 2-minute drill next. Wrapping up the show. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell here with Alex Curry. Final segment of the night. But don't worry, even though the show's over, if you missed part of the show, just go back and get the KSL Sports app, and it's downloadable for free.
Downloadable. Okay.
For free, so you can hear every word.
Gratis. So 2-minute drill here, Scott. We're going to get into this. I was wondering, though. I mean, the Jazz are playing tomorrow night, and they're welcoming the Sacramento Kings. A terrible team, by the way, which does not mean anything now. And I know we've been talking with everybody tonight about this, but I just want to know if – I mean, they still have one of the – I'm still trying to figure out if this team is any good. We were just talking about them maybe going to the Western Conference Finals at some point. And now those trolls that get at me and say – yeah, you know they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, don't you? Or in the second round of the playoffs to the Lakers or whatever. I'm starting to believe those dudes, and I don't like it. But that's such is fandom. I mean, I can't predict how things are going to go in the playoffs.
You know how? Let me equate it to water boiling, if I can.
Okay.
So water hits a temperature, and then nothing happens, and it's like it's just kind of stalled there. And it's just like not, you know, and then all of a sudden it boils. And once water starts to boil, it actually starts increasing in temperature again and continues to temperature until it turns to steam. And before it turns to steam, it hits that stall again.
Wow.
So it's just sitting there. Nothing's happening. And it's kind of, if you've watched this Utah Jazz team, very similar, right? They're a team that they go and go, and they're just cruising along. They're just, you know, temperature. They're just growing, growing, growing. And then all of a sudden, boom, they hit the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you go, oh, my goodness, you know. And you've seen this with Donovan, and you've seen this with this team where, like, a year ago they were kind of struggling. And then all of a sudden they get in the playoffs, and you're like, Donovan Mitchell starts scoring 50 points a game in the
right.
playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you see this team kind of it's in a different gear. And so they're kind of at this kind of – odd, weird spot where they're kind of in a stall, and I have to believe that when they come out of it on the other end, they're gonna be able to rise to a different level.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Just boiling
and it also
water
makes
and
it also makes sounds. Me think of look, Bill Nye, the science guy, has got nothing on Scott Mitchell here. So, We're going to play some music that we usually do right about now. And, Scott, explain to the people that are listening at home.
At the end of a football game, you got to. I will be happy to. At the end of a football game, you got to hurry down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Show the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down the field, finish the show. And we have smiles on our faces because we finish it the right way. And we actually win. We don't, like, let a guy go to the basket.
We don't go,
you know?
We don't tie.
Those are really bad. So we, but we do get a trophy because everyone gets one. And we get a mask and a COVID shot.
Everybody gets a COVID shot, a mask, and what was the other thing?
A trophy.
A trophy, okay.
Yeah, you know, participation trophy. That's the word.
Participation vaccination, yes. Baby. All right. Scott.
You get one of those cards, too. Like stamp. I got two here. Shots.
So one of the things that that came into my my inbox today, my email, was a press release from the Pioneer League, which normally I'm like, you know what, single A ball or rookie ball or whatever it is that they end up playing up there. I'm not sure what
the fact that you just got an email notice from them.
Right.
Is,
I was like, what is this?
That's.
But it said new rules and it said home run. The name of the email was home run. So they totally spammed me and they totally got me. I figured it out. And here's what the new rules are going to be. And I'm loving this, okay? To avoid excessive strain on our pitching staff, the Pioneer Baseball League will not have extra innings, but rather employ a first-of-its-kind knockout rule that resolves tied games with a head-to-head sudden-death home run duel. Under the rule, each team designates a hitter who receives 5 pitches, with the game determined by the most home runs hit. If it's still tied after that first knockout round, another hitter is selected for a sudden death. So it's basically a shootout.
So is it, do you get your own pitcher too?
Yes, a designated.
So it's not the other team's pitcher.
Right. So, So you'll basically have
A batting practice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing they did with the home run derbies, right? So get 5 pitches and the most home runs wins. And if they're tied, then you go to the next person. So it's basically like a shootout, a soccer shootout, but home run style. I'm okay with this. Extra innings in baseball is not as attractive as the possibility of a home run shootout, Scott. That's amazing.
No, I love this. I love this idea. This is so cool. When growing up, like, I'm a huge baseball fan, loved to play, you know, played every minute I possibly could as a kid. And one of the funnest things we ever did was home run derby with a Nerf ball in the backyard. I mean, it was just so much fun. And you just felt like, oh, you know, I'm hitting all these home runs. And we could play for hours, 4 hours. We'd have never-ending games, you know, just inning after inning.
That was us. We'd do home run derby with racket balls and tennis balls. So you had like the real baseball bat, but you would have these balls that one wouldn't break windows. That was the big deal. And also, you could launch these things, right?
Yes.
So you would have these home run derbies. And
see, we were skilled enough,
gone.
Alex. We could actually hit home runs, but yeah.
Oh, okay, look at you. Yeah,
I understand.
I'm just talking about the street, you know, and the street kids, because you didn't want to street kids. That may sound like me and a bunch of homeless kids were playing baseball. That's kind of what we were, I actually, to be honest, after school.
But did you practice spatial awareness? That's
spatial,
all I want to know.
Is it? No, spatial relationships.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are not relations.
Oh, yeah. Spatial relationships. Apparently, Zach Wilson's really good at them. You know, Elon Musk is really good at spatial relationships, apparently. All right, next up on the old two-minute drill here, Scott. Dwight Howard feels like he's being targeted by refs. Do you believe in the opposite of the superstar, you know?
No, what I believe
Getting called fouls because, these refs are coming after me, man.
What I believe with Dwight Howard is he believes in UFOs, and he believes in Bigfoot.
He's like, there
so
is definitely a conspiracy theory against me.
Yeah, it's all a conspiracy theory. There are situations, and it trickles all the way down to, like, little league basketball. And there's someone who just physically has a bigger presence than other people.
Yeah.
And everyone's playing aggressive. It's just that his aggressive seems to be more because the resistance on the other side of it is less. And I experienced this sometimes in high school where it was just like, really? Come on. I mean, and you've seen this. I mean,
you felt like you were targeted by the refs just because you're a bigger guy?
Well, I don't know that it's targeted. I just think the appearance of foul looks more because you're bigger than the other people.
Okay,
you're
get
being,
it.
You're being
Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard definitely has Look, he's got the wild hair, as wild as you can get now. I mean, this isn't like Dennis Rodman wild hair.
Yeah, he's kind of the Chad Johnson school of marketing.
Right, yeah. You bleach the hair, you braid it, and so you're kind of like, hey, man, I'm going to get some unnecessary attention here. Maybe the refs just are like, I don't like that hair, man. That's a technical foul. Sorry, dude. Did you run your mouth? Boom, tech. Major League Baseball, Scott, to switch gears here real quick, Major League Baseball, its lowest average ever currently at this point of the season, batting an abysmal .232. Is that a testament to the amazing pitching, or is it taking part of the year off, or what is the deal with baseball? Look, the last
you don't know the answer to this.
The last thing Major League Baseball needs is lower batting averages on a game that they're trying to get more people to tune in for.
Do you not know what
the
answer
is? I don't know what the answer is.
Oh, it's a simple answer, well, Alex. Look, the Houston Astros were the only team that got caught stealing signs.
Everybody else adjusted.
Now everyone's like, we gotta kind of, okay, we don't want to get busted on this. But
everybody take the garbage cans out of the dugout.
Guilty as anyone else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So everybody just kind of readjusting their sights.
In other words, nobody's cheating anymore, so the game's boring.
All right. It's that time of the night. The program is over, and that's all that we have for the evening. We'll be back again tomorrow, some shortened, abbreviated version, because the president's going to be taking over part of the program at 7 o'clock.
Okay, which one? Who's the president?
Old Joe Biden. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to do tomorrow. And then Thursday, full draft coverage. You don't want to miss right here on KSL's Unrivaled. We'll see you then, everybody.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.